Please welcome Tim Crowley.
Nothing but Bowie. That's what Neil Losey played for the first hour of his show the day after David Bowie died. So I turned it up and started puttering around the house doing my house husband duties. And I started thinking about this girl from high school. She dressed kind of weird, and she was kind of weird, just like her small circle of friends. But I liked her, and she loved David Bowie. And she taught me that there is more to rock and roll than Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, and Zeppelin. And she taught me that live music sounds way better in a club than in a stadium. And she taught me that there were a lot of bitching clubs right over the hill in Hollywood. And I learned that if I spent time in that world instead of on my native planet Hard Rock, that I would hear a lot bigger variety of music and meet a lot bigger variety of people and have a much better chance of getting laid. And it was great to be a young American in LA in the 70s and early 80s. And whenever I travel that far back in time, I instinctively trace that timeline back to the here and now. And when I did, I realized that Bowie was always there, a soundtrack to my life. And his music was always changing. And so was I. And I thought about some of the big changes in my life. I thought about my wife and my kids. And I thought about the 4.5 years that I've spent in prison. I didn't do all that time at once. I sliced and diced those years into thousands and thousands of 8 and 16 hour shifts and spread those shifts out over 22 years. And before every one of those shifts, I had to get ready. I worked for the California Department of Corrections, the CDC. Well, I did for 16 years, but then in 2004, for some reason, Arnold Schwarzenegger came along and switched the name to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. But except for the stationery and the patches on our uniforms, I never noticed any difference. Anyway, the CDC used to get potential correctional officers, or COs, ready by sending them away to an academy for 6 weeks. And when I was done with that academy in 88, I was ready. And it still took me a while to get used to that job. And it took even longer to figure out how best to reconcile that job with my personality. Some COs develop an at-work personality, a shell like the stab-proof vest that we wear beneath this uniform, a tough and authoritative persona that they can take off after each shift. But sometimes, some of them start to forget to leave that persona at the gate, and they end up taking it out with them into the real world and into their lives. And I tried that method too for a while, but it was exhausting trying to maintain that facade. So in order to save energy, I decided to be myself around staff and inmates. Now, when I first rolled up to the California Men's Colony, it was considered a Cadillac prison, a good place to work with compliant inmates. But over the years, those inmates began to change, and so did the department. And one of those changes was equipment. When I first started working for the department, I carried a flashlight, keys, and handcuffs. Towards the end of my career, I had a job that required me to wear 5 big sets of prison keys, handcuffs, a radio, a big canister of pepper spray, and a PR-24 baton. I also wore and carried a flashlight, boots, protective vest, gloves, rubber gloves, notepad, whistle, and various other items. I literally ran out of room on my belt. And when I weighed myself in the institution's hospital, I weighed 17 pounds more than I did on the streets. Which is why this jumpsuit is probably the biggest advancement in officer safety that the department ever came up with. Because whenever there's any trouble in prison, staff is trained to press their pad, their personal alarm device. It looks just like a garage door opener. and everybody who goes into prison, whether you're a guard, a doctor, a nurse, a secretary, is given a pad. And if you get in trouble, you feel threatened, you push that button, and it activates a hellaciously loud nearby buzzer and a flashing blue light. And that information goes out over the radio and over the loudspeaker. And when you're an officer, you head towards that light. You run towards that light. And I'd be running towards that light all amped up, because you never know what you're running into. And I'd have these pounds of equipment around my pants. And we didn't have a jumpsuit. We wore green polyester pants and a shirt. And I don't have any hips, so I'd be running, and I had to pull up my belt every 3 or 4 steps to keep my pants from falling down. And if I ran fast, I had to run like this. And I could run fast, and I could run far, and I could run down mountains. But I fell and got hurt twice running to alarms, and I wasn't the only one. And that's why this jumpsuit is the smartest thing the department did in my 22 years as a prison guard. The things that we carried did help even the odds, though. Because on a typical weekday, when staffing is at its highest, there might be one CO for every 100 inmates. And unlike in the movies, they're not locked in their cells. During the day, they're out working or going to school or various programs. And if they don't have a program, they're kicking it on the yard or in the TV or game rooms. So whenever there's any trouble, it needs to be isolated and stopped immediately. And that's what a CO does. He contains and controls inmates. Containing them's kind of easy. We use procedures, training, and teamwork. And we had fences, razor wire, gates, and gun towers. Plus, we counted them 5 times a day. They weren't going anywhere. A few of them tried, but they never made it.
Yeah.
But the hard part, the challenging, frustrating, and sometimes rewarding part was controlling them. Because these are guys that don't like to be controlled. And the most effective, the best way to control inmates is by talking to them and getting to know them. They live in those big 3-story concrete buildings you see when you drive by the prison, the housing units. There are 8 of them at CMC East, and on each floor or tier, there are 200 cells. And when you're a tier officer running that tier, you are around those inmates for at least 8 hours a day for months or even years, and you get to know them and their patterns, and their problems. And you learn how to deal with most of those problems verbally before they become big problems. And I got used to working in prison. The pay and the benefits were great. It was a challenging job, and I met a lot of good people, people I had to trust with my life. But prison could be an oppressive and a negative place. And you never really get rid of that feeling after you've been there long enough, whether you're at home, on vacation, or on a weekend. It's always there because you know you have to go back. And then, when I turned 51, I got hit by a perfect storm of health issues. And my doctor told me I had to take at least 90 days off from work. And I went home, and even though I was in pain, I felt this incredible sense of relief, like a great weight had been lifted from my chest. And I started doing some serious thinking, and I did some math. And just a week or two later, almost 23 years to the day from when I first drove to Fresno to take the correctional examinations, I drove to Fresno and signed my retirement papers. And a week or two after that, I was volunteering in the Morro Bay Library shelving books, when suddenly I felt dizzy and nauseous. I broke out into cold sweat, and I had pains in my jaw and in my chest. And I called my wife to ask her to pick me up because I couldn't walk home, and she knew something was wrong, and she picked me up and drove me straight to Sierra Vista Emergency. And as we were driving down Highway 1, I remember thinking, I could die, but it's not probable. And we drove by Hollister Peak, and I looked up at it rising into the sky like a castle, and I saw all these black dots circling overhead, and I knew that they were vultures. And I thought, thank God I signed the retirement papers. Susie will be all right. And after the emergency room, they kept me overnight in a room where I spent many an overtime overnight guarding inmates. And they let me go the next day. My heart was great. I know it was because I watched it thumping away while I was running on a treadmill. And they never gave me an official diagnosis, but to this day, I know that that was my inner correctional officer tearing himself free because he couldn't turn and face the strange new life ahead of him. And I didn't need him anyway, because finally, after 22 years, I was free.